Everybody, welcome back to another edition of Flock and Gather. It is your 18-minute podcast. I am Alan Scher. I run the Spa Industry Association with, I don't know, it's like 72,000 members. We have hundreds and hundreds of people joining us every month. And I'm really happy to be with a longtime friend of mine. Now recognize I did not say old friend. I just said longtime friend. So say hello to Lisa Starr. She runs Win Business, amongst many other things she's done in her career. Good morning, Lisa Starr.
Hey, Alan. So great to be here, and thank you for not calling me old.
Well, you never seem old to me, so you're way younger than I am anyway. So I'm going to just go with my longtime friend. And you're the only star I know who has two R's in it, Lisa Starr, S-T-A-R-R. So
that's why I try to be special.
Well, you are special. Let's go with that. And okay. Where am I talking to you from today? Where are you?
I'm in my home office outside Philadelphia, PA.
Oh, we like Philly, PA. Of course, we're not going to talk football here either, because even yesterday, my second favorite team, which is the Steelers, couldn't figure out how to find their ha-ha with both hands, right?
No, it was a good football weekend, but yes, we'll save that for another podcast.
Oh, and I just dropped all my Lisa notes too. So how are you and the family doing, and what's going on in the Philly area? Are you guys open or closed or what?
We are open. January 4th, they reopened indoor dining and gyms, thankfully, because it's gotten pretty cold out to do outdoor activities in the morning. So, you know, I think people are getting used to going out with masks and washing their hands and sanitizing and doing as much as they can that way. The restaurants have limited capacity, but they are open, thank goodness. I mean, we've been doing takeout as much as possible just to help them survive.
Agreed.
Crazy time. But of course, we can't take out beauty services as well. So that's been another challenge.
Well, and when we talked exactly to what you just said, when I think about it, like I told you, I went and got a massage yesterday, Sunday. And I think when I go in now and I'm wearing my mask, but I don't touch anything. I don't touch the counter. You know me, I would lean on the counter. You touch the box. I don't touch a single thing. They have my credit card on file. In fact, they don't even take cash where I'm going. You have to pay with credit card, but I still leave cash in the envelopes for my therapist, because correct me if I'm wrong, cash is still king. Yes.
Well, I'm sure they'd still appreciate that. And you're right. You know, you're just more conscious today of what you touch. And I love that every store has a sanitizing gel when you leave. So you just grab it on the way out, wipe your hands, done.
Even on, we went to a local restaurant here up in Cave Creek on Saturday with friends, and they have bottles of hand sanitizer. I mean, I hate that stuff, but still, if you think you need it, it's nice that there's an awareness in the community. And the fact is, honestly, at least I don't think viruses are going away, and people are just going to have to step up their cleanliness routine. I don't care what you do or where you go.
Well, I agree. I think it's all too bad we didn't have stock in hand sanitizing companies when this started. One of the companies that did really well in the pandemic. But yes, you have to just have a higher awareness now, and hopefully we'll see lesser occurrences of standard flus and other things because we're being so careful.
Yeah. Now, you know what's ironic? So, you know, I'm in Arizona, right? So Kathy and I live about 30 miles north of downtown. When you look at all the daily figures, there's never a rise in COVID where we are because it's very local and neighborhood. If you go a little bit farther south from us where all the snowbirds are, the COVID rates are off the chart.
Really?
Why? Because we think a lot of people who are traveling to Arizona, God bless them for the winter, are bringing COVID with them. And so there are specific areas where we look at it and go, yeah, we're not going out to eat there. We stay away from the areas. I feel bad for the merchants, but this is the nature of the beast. Anyways, let's get on to happy stuff. You and Peggy and I go back a long time, but Win Business, you guys have just an amazing reputation in our industry. And I know what a straight shooter you are. And that's why right through this summer, you have been really busy. Give our listeners, what are the top two, three things you've been doing that's kept you so busy along the way?
Well, along with everyone else, when the pandemic hit and the shutdown started, I just jumped on webinars because it was a great way to find out, well, what is happening, you know, in other parts of the world, in other parts of the country. Global Wellness Institute did a great job of jumping in there, and they were having as many as 3 weekly webinars, you know, for a while there. So then I started participating in webinars where I was speaking and, you know, starting to do more writing on, well, how do we come out of this? You know, part of what I've been looking at as one of my hats I wear is as a contributing editor to Spa Business Magazine. And we've been looking at, where does spa go, right? What will the model that we knew of facial and massage and body treatment in a 10x9 room, you know, where will we go in the future with that? I mean, there's certainly a place for that. And consumers are very interested more than ever. I think the COVID has been a tailwind for the wellness industry in many aspects. As we see, as spas reopen, they're quite busy. I mean, my first client to reopen was a massage studio in Maine. I think they opened the 3rd week of July, and they've been essentially full ever since. It's unbelievable.
So people ask me that because we, as I've told you, we've had probably a half dozen new vendors sign up for our partnership program over the last couple months, because for the moment, there's no trade shows. People right. don't seem to be spending money on space advertising. So if you have to have a digital program in mind, to look how this spa, we always call them spas, right? But spa, salon, medical spa, et cetera. Anybody who's had a retail and an online presence has helped them survive in our industry over the last 10 months. And Rick, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you have to stay front and present. And, you know, social media usage has gone up significantly, you know, much more than forecast. I think Instagram, the numbers I saw were something like 22% higher usage than 2019.
I want to make note too, Spa Business Magazine, for our listeners who don't know, is actually a European, they're a UK company, if I remember.
Right.
They put out great information. It doesn't matter that you're not in the UK. And I love getting their daily or weekly email recap. It's just really well done. So if you don't know them, look up Spa Business Magazine out of the UK. It's worth being on their email list. Number two, I notice, Lisa, there was quite the lull over the last month in people pushing their webinars. And then all of a sudden, right at the front of the year, like my emails on webinars went boom. And for the association, we try and keep a digital calendar of events as well. And I know Greg is really busy, always trying to keep that up to right. Speed, but kind of webinars is going to be with going back to shows, and we are going back. There's no doubt in my mind. We're just going back differently. Like I noticed with Questex, who puts on the IECSC shows, mm-hmm. A couple of the big shows coming up now, they're going to be 2-day shows with the third day being a digital mm-hmm. where the mm-hmm. experience, where they used to be 3-day shows. Now it's going to be 2 and a digital day.
I'm not sure how the hybrid model will work, but you know, I appreciate the innovation, and companies have to try things, right? So on that front of connecting suppliers and buyers, part of my work is with We Work Well, which is a platform that connects buyers and sellers. And we had two live events in 2019 that were very successful with top spas around the US and suppliers. Typically a 3-day event with networking and education and meetings. And, you know, we had to really quickly shift last year into that virtual model, which we did. We held 3 or 4 virtual events beginning in June. And we realized there was such a need for it because sellers still want to sell things and buyers still need things, but no one has a way to connect outside the trade show. So we used our proprietary software to match buyers and sellers, and we put on full day programs with an educational piece in the middle and networking and stretching and all the things that we try to do in our live events. And they've been very well received. And we're having 2 more in February, 1 for the EMEA market and 1 for the US on February 22nd. So Now, to what will happen next, we have live events scheduled also for 2021, but you know, it remains to be seen. The issue isn't that we're afraid to travel, but large companies are not putting their people on airplanes or having them travel or don't have the budget to do
Yeah.
so.
Well, but and of course, you talk about the tailwind in our industry, right? I mean, we seem to be the first ones to go down, but the first ones to come back as well. And I can feel that tailwind because my team is talking to a lot of directors, spa directors, and vendors all that, and people are doing business. I mean, it's not like companies. I mean, if you're in the equipment business, it's been more difficult, right? Because there's been no CapEx and assorted other things for large equipment. In fact, I had a catch-up conversation with someone who runs many, many hundreds of spas for a large operation, and they said their travel has been told at zero, and their budget for buying things is zero. But it's only for the time being, because we just don't, as you said, we don't know what the virtual show and the go back to trade show. We know it's changing. It's just going to be a matter of time. So people hang in there because I think it's really critical to understand that nobody's leaving wellness. I mean, can you imagine, Lisa, not getting a facial or a massage or a mani-pedi? It's part of our existence. How there can't be a no when it comes to that.
In fact, it's more than part of our existence. If anything else, this pandemic has highlighted why people need immune boosting treatments and services, why they need to take care of themselves. And you know, Alan, you mentioned part of my work is with Mind Body, and we've just completed a consumer survey that they do every year. It was almost 20,000 people and asked all about wellness and beauty practices. And they're not mind body customers, they're just general US population. 78% of the people surveyed said wellness is more important now than ever. 72% said it's a high priority for them and it brings like-minded people together. They are understanding that what we provide isn't just that hour respite on the treatment table, but better stress management, blood pressure, self-care, all of those things that have a lasting impact. So we have a nice boon in front of us, but we have to be prepared to perhaps address it differently.
You're talking about a good friend of ours. In full disclosure, they're a client to both of us, but we love our MindBody and their sister company, Booker. They're very cutting edge. They've done an amazing job staying up and bringing answers to people in the spa channel about how to run their business and make more revenue, et cetera. So I just think they're awesome. Awesome folks, and I love it. And I'm glad they, if you ever want us to send out those results, you know, you should just send them to Greg, right? And we'll make sure
Will
that we
do.
post for MindBody and Booker as it relates to that.
Well, further to that point, Alan, let's talk for a minute about what does the spa look like in the future? Because this is something that's near and dear to me, and I'm finding all of these interesting hybrids out there where people are introducing low touch services, services that don't require a technician. And it's not getting rid of massage and facial by any means, but it's providing other options for those consumers who may be still a little shy about being touched. And we can't have all of our eggs in that one basket, right? We've learned that we need to diversify. And people that had e-commerce stores, online revenue streams, were able to keep that business up during the shutdown. So things like hyperbaric chambers, infrared saunas, halo therapy is huge. And now there's a great booth that's made that combines halo and infrared sauna by Global Halo Therapy. That's really cool. Meditation pods. I mean, people, massage and meditation were the two services in our survey that got the most attention during the pandemic. So,
Well, I have
what
to.
else are we providing for consumers? That's what we need to think about.
My buddy Michael Sarkis owns a place called Floatology here. During
Oh, I love that.
the pandemic, he doubled the size of his facility from six tanks to 12.
Wow, that's a lot of tanks.
Wait, and they're still days out for booking. You can't just decide to go over there and get a float today. You've got to have an appointment. He is so flipping busy. And I'll tell you, he had me down there for a float. If for people who have never floated and laid in the salt and go, an hour went by in a heart. I fell asleep. But I thought it was, when I heard the music come back on, I thought, wait, that can't be the end. I just fell asleep and it was like 58 minutes later. So floating and, as you say, sauna and salt.
Chemotherapy, cryotherapy, yeah. You know, all of these things that a person can try without a technician are going to definitely get some traction alongside our traditional services or maybe combined with them. And in addition to that, we're seeing more integrative health come into the spa. I've seen some really interesting models where doctors are in the same building and they may have cardiology or nutrition experts that are working along with spa experts. And I do think we're going to start to see the two sides really work together.
We've been speaking today with Lisa Starr. She runs Win Business, amongst a lot of other stuff. You should call her, go to her website. What is your website?
It's winbusiness.com, WYNNEbusiness.com.
Got it, WYNNEbusiness.com. She is an amazing wealth of information in this industry. You've got, if you don't know Lisa, you're missing out. So make sure you know who Lisa is. In the last couple minutes, Lisa, we have left, I just want to recap a few things because I'm getting asked all the time, what's up for 2021? So you go first, take 30 seconds, and then I'm going to add on to the back of what you're going to talk about.
I think we will see simplified routines, especially with home care, but people still want the products. They're very aware of green and eco practices and much more aware of what they're putting on their bodies and into their bodies. Community aspects of wellness and companies that they do business with. As I mentioned, the continued convergence of healthcare and wellness practices, anything that's immune boosting, I think will get a lot of attention. Low tech and low touch services combining in locations, and just being that resource for our clients and educating them, letting them try new things that they haven't before. Maybe, I don't mean dedicate a whole room to a new service, but flexible space. We invite other practitioners in, we expose them to different wellness modalities. I think we'll see a lot more of that.
That was a good list. Low touch, simple routine, eco-friendly, immune boosting, which I love, by the way. I think about the vitamins I take every day. I take Sprayology, make some immune boosters. It's part of my daily routine. I want to add something else. In this blend of allopathic or modern medicine with complementary care, I think that people have learned, especially now during the pandemic, you can't just run to the doctor because you have a sniffle.
Right.
Part of wellness is you being well every day too. You've got to decide to take care of yourself. I don't care if it's yoga, meditation, 30-minute walks. It doesn't matter what it is. But I think there's this awakening that says, I am responsible for my best health care. And I think that will be a critical part of the move forward as well.
Totally agree that consumers realize they're responsible for their health and they need to do their part as well. It's not that a cream in a jar or a pill is going to fix you.
Yeah.
And I just want to close by saying you can't give up on the hygiene practices you've started. I mean, it's going to continue for the rest of the year in many places, mask wearing, sanitization. Yes, you need to keep the social distancing and just reassure clients that you're doing all you can. Salons and spas were already super clean, but we have to keep telling them that it's safe to come in.
Lisa Starr, my young friend, Win Business Systems. I love you. I hope your family stays healthy and well.
Thank you, Alan. Love you too. And I hope everyone has a great year.
And please, my friends, remember, be kind to one another.